grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Help me, choir. Help me, choir.
Your grace and mercy brought me through.
I'm living this moment. have come through some stuff. I'm talking about you on the other side of it now. But looking back, you realize you didn't make it by yourself. Come on, where are the folk who can say, he brought me through? And I'm glad to know that if he brings me to it, he's able to bring me through it. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise.
Your grace and mercy go on me through.
Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time. And I will need you to keep your Bibles open or your cellular phones, if that's where your Bible is located. Stay with me because I don't want to read the entirety of this passage up front. We're going to read it intermittently throughout the sermon. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the message will encompass the entirety of the sixth chapter, particularly verses 8 through 23. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. But I want to read verses 8 through 12 as an introductory passage. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6. Reading verses 8 through 12, the word says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" And I was reading from the New King James Version. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a few moments from this subject, the unseen world. The unseen world. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Every day you and I awaken in a fallen world, a world that is inhabited by over 7 billion people of different races, different languages, and different cultures. We see a world of beauty with majestic mountains, a world with spacious seas, tropical paradise islands, luscious green pasture lands, and towering forests. We see a world of festivals and parades where people of different religions and different cultures and different ethnic backgrounds come together to celebrate life. But sadly, we also see a world of tragedy and sorrow that is filled with war and sickness and disease and pain and hunger and murder and poverty. This is the world that is visible to us every day. But I've come by this morning to tell you that every day we are also surrounded by what you might call an unseen world, a heavenly realm where God's sovereignty is constantly reigning over us in more ways than you and I will ever know. We're given a wonderful glimpse of this unseen world in this sixth chapter of 2 Kings. In this chapter, we see 3 wonderful blessings that come to us from God's unseen world. Blessing number 1, tell your neighbor that God has us under constant surveillance. In verses 8 through 12 that we just read, "For years, many Americans have been concerned that Big Brother is watching us." Big Brother being the government.
Well, last year, for those of you who pay attention to the news, those concerns were validated when the news broke that we are under constant surveillance by the NSA, the National Security Administration. In this article, the writer said that, and this guy had been in electronics for about 30 years. He's an electronics consultant. He said that items we use every day, such as our phones, GPS tracking devices, Facebook accounts, Google search engines, Xbox Kinect video game systems, computers that have Microsoft Windows operating systems, all of those things have allowed the NSA to invade our privacy and know our every move. I know some of you, like me, are always looking for a discount, and State Farm Insurance has a discount program where I have to put this little device in the window of my vehicle, and it tracks my every move. As a matter of fact, State Farm knows when I'm going above the speed limit. They know when I brake too hard. They know when I turn corners too hard. They even know when I'm on my phone and driving at the same time. We're constantly being watched. Now, I don't know about you, but it deeply concerns me that you and I are under constant surveillance by Big Brother. But I find it deeply comforting to know that we are under constant surveillance by our Heavenly Father. Is there anybody here who's glad to know that He's watching over you? Verse 8 gives the setting for our scripture text. It says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel." Tell your neighbor, some things never change. Amen. For some 2,800 years in Israel, they've been fighting. And so we need to understand that the fighting we see on the news now is not new to God. It's not new to this world. The conflict between Syria and Israel that is in the headlines today, as a matter of fact, our president had to order our military to shoot down some missiles that were being aimed at our military personnel by Syria, coming out of Syria. And so there's nothing new, Solomon said, under the sun. Throughout the history of warfare, armies have always figured out ways to spy on their enemies. But here in our text, we have the most unusual case of espionage ever seen. This is the situation. The king of Syria would plan his strategy, deploy his forces to attack Israel. But the Lord would overhear his plans, read his mind, study his documents, then reveal the information to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha would in turn let Israel's king know so that Israel could prepare for the attack. Now, after this happened several times, the furious Syrian king demanded, "Who is the double agent? Who is it that's telling Israel all of our plans, all of our plots?" Amen. Who is it? Because there has to be a spy in the palace. But then in verse 12, one of the king's servants tells him the culprit is not a spy or double agent, but rather it is that prophet Elisha. Amen. Verse 12, the B part of verse 12 says, "But Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And then the king of Syria's bedroom, amen, in a real sense, had been bugged. Not by a spy using wiretaps and hidden cameras. His bedroom had been bugged by the all-knowing God who sees all and hears all. Oh my, thank God for the word that tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it tells us that God is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm 139:1-2 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off." There was a writer by the name of Charnock. He wrote that the thoughts are the most closeted acts of man, hid from men and angels, unless disclosed by some outward expressions. You know, some of us, we think something and it's going to show up on our faces. You see, some of y'all have those poker faces and you're able to think one thing and express something else. But some folk like me, amen, if I think it, if I feel it, it's going to show up on my face. Am I by myself? And all this means is that God has our lives under constant surveillance. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me, instantly, constantly, and thoroughly. This can be disconcerting when we think about our sins, when we think about, amen, the evil thoughts that we have. But how many of you know you can fool folk, but you can't fool God? Oh my, oh my. God has us under constant surveillance. But the good news is that not only does he know our sin issues, our bad thoughts, our evil intents, the good news is that because God has us under constant surveillance, it can also bring us peace and comfort, because not only does he know the bad stuff about us, he knows our every fear, he knows our every heartache, he knows our every tear, he knows our every need, he knows our every concern. And I'm so glad, because you know, we can dress up and come to church and have folks thinking that everything is all right in our lives. But is there anybody here who understands that God knows when you're hurting? God knows when your heart has been broken. God knows, amen, your fears and your heartaches. Hebrews 4 and 13 says nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Thank you, God, that you've got me under constant surveillance. Oh my, oh my. Some of you don't realize, but there was some trouble waiting on you. Amen. There was some danger waiting on you. But because you were under the constant eye of God, he fixed it so that that trouble did not harm you. He fixed it so that those haters did not hurt you. You ought to thank God today that we're under his constant surveillance. But not only are we under his constant surveillance, this text is tailored to teach us that we're also under his constant protection. All right, pull out your Bibles again. I want you to look now at verses 13 through 17. And if you can put it on the screen, that'll help us. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. It says, so he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. And I don't think that's Dothan, Alabama. I think that's in the Middle East. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us. Come on, let's say that together. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I'm so glad that not only does God have me under constant surveillance, he also has us under constant protection. Here's the scene. Elisha and his servant are in the town of Dothan, and while they are there, they wake up to discover that they have been surrounded by enemy forces. His servant looks at him and says, what is we gonna do? Look at all of those enemies that have surrounded us. And Elisha said, don't worry about it, because those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Oh my, oh my. Anybody can thank God for the word that says, if God be for you, he's more than your enemies that are against you. Psalm 34 and 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Psalm 91 and 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I was reading a book about angels, and in this book, the writer was debating whether or not God has angels watching us 24/7. And whereas the writer wasn't able to come to a conclusion, if you study the Bible, you understand that God has something watching us. God has somebody watching. And I just tend to believe that there are angels. I believe that our ancestors, even though they didn't have degrees from HBCUs and all of that, many of them, but they had a knowledge about God. They wrote a song that said, all night, all day, angels are watching over me. Come on, how many of you know they were in Bible country? I know they were in Bible country because Psalm 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know they were in Bible country because Psalm 46 and 1 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I know they were in Bible country because Psalm 121, 7 and 8 says the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I know they were in Bible country because 2 Timothy 4 and 18 says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. I thank God that he watches over me. I thank God that he protects me. Amen, amen. I don't know how you feel about it, but there have been times in my life where I was troubled and I was anxious because I thought my enemies were greater than I was. But amen, they may have been greater than me, but one thing I know, they were not greater than God. Come on and bless him in this place. We're under his constant protection. But then there's one last thing in this text that shows us that we are blessed by this unseen world. Amen. And it's in verses 18 through 23. Not only are we under God's constant surveillance, not only are we under God's constant protection, but then finally, this text is tailored to teach us that we are under God's constant grace. Somebody's looking at me, and you've read this before, and you're saying, Pastor, I don't see the grace. I see the surveillance. I see the protection, but I don't see the grace. Well, let's read on verses 18 through 23. It says, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, prayer changes things. He prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man that you're looking for. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were, inside enemy territory. They were in Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Y'all, if you've ever read this passage before, chances are you were so focused on that invisible army of angels that God had sent to protect Elisha that you missed this part about grace. This grace that was shown to the Syrian army. Here we get a glimpse of Elisha's sense of humor. He asked God to afflict the Syrian army with blindness. Then Elisha went out, amen, to the blinded Syrian troops and told them that they were at the wrong address. He told them to follow him. Now that's funny because they were looking for him. And here he is. He's prayed and he's asked God to blind them so that they could not see. And then he gets in front of them and tells them to follow me. I'm going to lead y'all to the one that you're looking for. Amen. And he leads them to the king of Israel. And there in the camp of the Israelites, Elisha said, Lord, now open their eyes. And when they opened their eyes, they realized that they were in the wrong place. They realized that they were in enemy territory. And the king of Israel said, Elisha, should I kill them all? Oh, but thank God for grace. Is there anybody here who understands that if you want grace, you better learn how to extend grace to somebody else? Is there anybody here who understands that if you want mercy, you better be merciful to other folk? I heard somebody say that you need to make regular and frequent deposits into the bank of grace and mercy, because one day you're going to need to go there and make a withdrawal. And if you haven't deposited any grace, if you haven't deposited any mercy, you're going to get there and get a note saying NSF. You better learn how to show grace to somebody. I don't know how you feel about it today, but as I close, I thank God. I said I thank God that I'm under his constant surveillance. I thank God that he watches over me. I don't know about you. I know some of y'all are real smart and you're highly intellectual and you know, amen, always to be at the right place at the right time. But every now and then, Garner gets in the wrong place. Every now and then, Garner gets, amen, into the wrong situation. But I'm so glad that my Heavenly Father is watching over me. And when I could have been destroyed, God had me under his constant surveillance. And not only did he have me under his constant surveillance, he had me under his constant protection. I am so glad that I am in God's protected care. Is there anybody here today who's glad that that sickness that could have taken you out, amen, because God was watching over you? Before the doctor said you had it, God already knew that it was there, and he was already working a miracle in your life. You ought to thank God for his protection. But then last but not least, you got to thank God for his amazing grace. I thank God for grace. Am I by myself? Do you thank God for grace? If you're thankful for his grace, you ought to stand on your feet and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. Because can I tell you what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. You can't work for grace. You can't pay enough money for grace. You can't get enough promotions for grace. But God will give you his grace. I found out that there are three types of grace. There is prevenient grace. That's the grace that gets up in the morning before you get up, gets out on the highway before your car gets started, clears traffic out of your way, makes sure that the plane lands when it's supposed to land. That is prevenient grace. But then